Today's episode is sponsored by Calypso's Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas, one of Dallas-Fort Worth's premier cigar lounges. If you haven't been there yet, go check it out. Off of I-75 and Arapahoe, it has one of the largest humidors in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, filled with some of the best cigars on the planet. They also have a beautiful lounge you can sit at and enjoy your cigar. So go visit Matt and the crew at Calypso's Cigar Shop and Lounge, located at 1002 North Central Expressway, Suite 589 in Richardson, Texas. And hey, if you're not in the area, give them a call at 972-761-9903. That number again, 972-761-9903. Hey everybody, this is Brandon Luna with Cigars and Cinema, Love to Hate, and Kiefer for Prez. Today's episode is sponsored by Nat Sherman Premium Cigars. With such great cigars in their lineup as the 93-rated Timeless Dominican, 92-rated Timeless Nicaraguan, 96-rated Host Maduro, and the brand new 91-rated Metropolitan Habano, every time you reach for a Nat Sherman, you're going to get a quality cigar. So ask for Nat Sherman Premium Cigars at your local cigar lounge. You won't be disappointed.
Cigars.
And cinema.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars and Cinema.
Yes, sir.
Figured you'd be like, cinema.
Cinema.
Can I do that anymore?
I can't.
You just don't do
it.
I just do it
when I feel it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't feel it this time. Well, today we are doing an actual
movie. Cinema!
Oh, now
I felt
you
it then.
Yeah,
there you
okay.
go. Okay.
I see how you are.
Gotcha.
So we happened to watch the same movie over the span of 2 months.
Yeah.
And we decided
it's been a while.
Yeah. It was something worth talking about.
Not that long.
Yeah.
6 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So something we decided was worth talking about. This is an actual Western.
We love Westerns.
We do love Westerns.
Yep.
And it's something I think is direct-to-video. I don't know that it's necessarily got any kind of release.
I don't think it did, no. I think on-demand and then direct-to-video.
Yeah, so 2016 release called Angels. No, sorry. Reverse that. Outlaws and Angels.
Yes.
It's called Outlaws
yes.
and Angels.
Yes.
Now, this stars not really. The biggest star in it is probably Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson,
right?
yeah.
Luke Wilson plays a character in it. He's
and
like
he
a
narrates it. And
bounty
he's
hunter.
A bounty hunter.
Yeah. That's looking for these outlaws. So it starts with basically these outlaws robbing a bank.
Yep.
And they've got these really cool masks on.
Yeah.
They're like, they have these lips painted.
They shoot an innocent bystander in
yep.
the eye.
Yep.
It's a very violent movie.
Yeah, it is a very violent movie. And they race off. And so basically the movie is these bounty hunters are hired to try and track these guys down. They're going to get, what, $8,000?
Yeah.
For the group?
A lot.
Yeah. And unfortunately for them, these guys take a turn and decide to go through this desert. And he loses, you know, Luke Wilson loses half his team.
Yeah.
So he's down to, what, three guys?
Three guys, yeah.
To track these guys down.
There's a funny line where something, because we're going through the desert, and he's like, yeah, we should have taken that guy's water, or we should have killed him just so we got his water, something like that. It was kind
right,
of a funny
right,
line,
yeah. So, but it has a, beyond that, you're looking at Chad Michael Murray, who mostly, he's, you know, good-looking guy, did a lot of teen movies.
Yeah.
He was in Freaky Friday with...
Lindsay Lohan
before she went fucking bonker nuts.
Yeah.
Cinderella Story, One Tree Hill. So he's one of these pretty boy actors that you don't
I'm
really
I'm so glad
expect.
I forgot that he was in all that shit before I watched this
yeah,
movie.
Cause I, and I heard he was in this movie playing an outlaw. I'm like, that's why it took me so long to watch it because I'm like, I really don't buy him in a Western.
Yeah.
But, you know, he pulls it off. He does a good job.
Solid.
I hate they gave him the obligatory scar to make him not so handsome.
Nah,
it's like,
nah,
come
I'm
on.
Badass,
didn't really
scar.
Need the scar. Yeah. I wonder if that was his scar. I was like, I feel like I need a scar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the other star in it that people don't really know about yet, but I think she's got a lot going for her, and I think she's going to do great things, is Francesca Eastwood. In
Eastwood? Where does that
Francesca
name come from?
Eastwood.
I've heard of that name before.
Huh.
Hmm.
Is it maybe Clint?
Maybe.
Maybe he came
and,
from her loins?
Yeah.
Or wait.
No,
she came from his loins?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Reverse that.
And, of course, Frances Fisher is her mother.
And she's in the movie.
Yeah.
And she looks bad.
She never looked great.
I know, but she looks bad.
Yeah, I know.
And Eastwood has a habit of, like, dating some uggos,
he
like,
does,
between
yeah.
her and, what's the other one, Sandra Locke. Like,
see,
he
I
just,
didn't think Sandra Locke was all that bad.
I never thought Sandra Locke was attractive.
No, she wasn't hot,
yeah.
but
no.
She was at the end of the night at a bar. You pick her up. You're like, okay.
No, I won't think I'd pick up Sandra
at that
Locke.
Moment. You
no.
would be okay.
Well, if
you
I'm
wake up
double.
Next to her in the morning, you'd be like, oh, crap.
If I'm seeing double and she's got four titties, then maybe. But
yeah, I gotcha.
Other than that,
gotcha. Yeah.
But yeah, so those are the really kind of the main stars in the movie. Terry Polo's in it as well, which you may know from.
Who
the
is usually
thing.
Hot? She was. She's in the Meet the Parents movies.
Yep.
With Owen Wilson. Which
correct.
Is kind of funny.
Correct. Correct.
She was on an episode of Frasier I just watched the other day. She's a good actress.
Been in a lot of stuff.
Very pretty woman in Without Western.
Yeah, without the Western dress yeah, down. Yeah, exactly. Where they make her look like a frumpy little old woman. Mm-hmm. So basically, these guys go out. They decide they're going to try and get away with this, you know, money, and this they did this robbery. Mm-hmm. They end up meeting one of the guys that is a robber. They meet his kin folk on the way to get some, I guess, what they get from him, guns and
maybe
water,
change of horses
stuff like
something.
That. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wind up killing them all.
Yeah, yeah. Just kill them all.
They've seen her faces. We got to kill them. He's like, that was my kin. He's like, well, sorry.
Sorry.
You know?
Yeah.
So they kill these people. They leave. And then, you know, Luke Wilson and his guys come through too. And they end up getting some information from the daughter that was left over. And they move on from there. And, well, these guys wind up at a, you know, desolated area with a house and a church.
By these guys, you mean the outlaws.
The outlaws, yeah, the outlaws end up there. And they decide, okay, we need, you know, they've already basically, the horses have died because they've gone through the desert. They knew they were going to have to be on foot.
Yeah.
So let's go there and let's see what we can get. Maybe there'll have some horses, some donkeys, something.
Some food. Yeah.
Get some food, get some water, and move on. Well, once they get to this house, shit kind of hits the fan at this point.
Yeah.
It becomes a very Tarantino kind of Western with mostly dialogue and in a confined space.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have compared it to his latest movie, which I didn't really like a whole lot.
Hateful Eight or something.
Hateful Eight, yeah. And it does have some parallels to that.
And to set up the family that the house that they invade.
Correct.
It's a preacher. There's a church next door.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the impression that the church gets nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody comes to their church.
They're too far away from the town. There's not a lot of people coming anymore.
Right.
They're basically living off chicken eggs, and that's basically what they're living off
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
So they get there. They invade the house. They're like, you know, we need food. They were getting ready to sit down for dinner, and, you know, we need food. We need water. You know, we need whatever horses you got. Like, we got two horses, and they're lame, and we've got a donkey, and that's all we got, you know.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, they eat the food. They're threatening the family, basically saying, you know, just, we're not going to kill you, but they really pretty much are going to kill them.
You know they're going to
kill
them. You
get the idea that they're going to kill them.
Right.
But before that, you know, back up a little bit, there's a couple scenes with the family just kind of living their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's one scene that I saw it coming, but I was kind of hoping it wouldn't go that direction.
Okay.
The dad was like, you know, hey, you know, I'm done for the day. I need to come over here and rub me down. So the way it's done in the frontier is that the daughters give the dad a massage at the end of the night, and then he can go to sleep or whatever. So a little more than a massage
going
on.
Down,
a rub down.
You don't really know it at the point, but you get the idea that it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the mom lets the girl do it, and the girls are fighting. Like the one girl, not Eastwood, but the other one is like fighting. Yeah. She's like, daddy likes me to do it better. I've got stronger hands. And the other girl's like, nope, I want the blonde one. So.
Yeah.
He gets the better looking of the daughter to do it. And, you know, we don't find out till later what this is about. But spoiler alerts, he's a perv and a pedo. And he's sleeping with his daughters. And that's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they find out when they invade the house, is that this is going on.
Yeah.
And then they decide to confront them at this point.
Yeah.
So before the outlaws get there, the two daughters are doing shooting practice.
Yeah.
And the one daughter.
The one daughter that's kind of cute is Eastwood's daughter.
Yeah.
Another girl's kind of really homely.
Yeah.
And.
So she
does
can't
thing
shoot crap.
Yeah, and Eastwood's daughter can.
Yeah, Eastwood daughter hits the target, and when the dad goes to kind of, you know, grab the targets and set it up again, the homelier of the two daughters ends up fighting Eastwood and like making her throw up. She sticks her fingers in her mouth.
She spits in her face, and
And then makes her throw up.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you can tell there's some tension between these sisters. You know,
that's like, why did the homely one think she was better than the other girl?
But, right. Well, because daddy liked her best.
Yeah,
if you
wanna, I know. I know. But at the moment, you're like,
daddy
what?
Says I'm the best. If you want to
like,
quote
really?
Vacation.
Yeah. Creepy.
Right.
Wow. Nice vacation reference. I didn't think about that. Yeah. So they invade the home. And, you know, just before, okay, they set up the thing before the outlaws invade the home. They're very religious.
Yes.
Very. To the annoying stage.
Especially Terry Polo.
Yeah. And they'll be like getting ready to eat, and she'll be like, stop. Read from the word. So he's got to open the Bible and read some stuff, and then they got to pray, and you know, everyone just wants to eat. They're all starving. It's like, can we just freaking eat?
Right.
You know,
it's like, when the word hits your mother, you got to let her talk. You
yeah
know? So the dad says his little bit, and then the mom gets to say the prayer stuff.
Yeah. Oh. And they always do it in movies. They always overplay the religious aspect, you know?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, there are people like that, don't get me wrong, so I understand it when they put it in movies, but it does get old sometimes. It's like, come on.
Right.
You know. But of course, this is the late 1800s. You didn't have much to deal with, you know. So you had to, I guess the Lord was your only avenue for peace.
Right. And they say something in the movie, too, that they're eating crackleberries. And I'm like, what the hell is a crackleberry?
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
It's in the IMDb trivia. The Tilden family were having crackleberries for dinner in the movie. Crackleberries, which I thought was like a cereal, is not a fruit.
It sounds like Captain Crunch.
Right, yeah. We're having some crackleberries. Yeah. Captain Crunch, shut up and eat it. Crackleberries are not a fruit, but a fictitious way of saying chicken eggs.
Okay.
So they were having chicken eggs.
Okay.
So that makes sense, I guess.
We just call them eggs nowadays.
Yeah, but I guess that was a frontier term or something, okay. So whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, so the guys get there. You know, there's a lot of tense moments. The cast, I thought the casting was really good in this. I liked the outlaws all had their own personalities. You got kind of the big dumb one. You got the creepy, greasy, kind of pervy one.
Yeah.
You got Chad Michael Murray, who's the leader of
the
group.
He's the so-called moral one of the group.
Right. And he gets a sense that this is going on, especially when he decides to bed down Eastwood's kid.
Yeah.
So he takes her back and decides he wants a rub down, which mm-hmm. He really just wanted the rub down.
Mm-hmm.
But then she sticks her head in his ass. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the hell?
Kind of weird.
She tries to go down on him. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well,
and she's
yeah,
like, wait a minute. Am I not doing it right?
Right?
He's like, is this what you're doing with your dad? So that's when he finds out that this is going on.
Yeah.
And confronts him about it. And then it becomes, you know, a moral play at that point.
Yes.
But this is what you're doing to your kids and, you know, all this stuff. So.
Yeah, we're bad guys, but you're really bad guys.
Yeah,
because
really bad guys. Yeah.
You use the Lord as your shield.
Exactly.
When you're just
to do these
evil.
Horrible things.
Yeah, exactly.
And the worst part is the mom knew about it and she did nothing about it. So as the movie progresses, you know, we're in the spoiler.
And Terry Polo's the mom. Yeah.
Spoiler territory here at this point. The one guy, the greasy guy that's kind of the pervy guy, likes Terry Polo. He's like, she's been making eyes at me the whole time, and I want to lay down with her. He's like, we're not doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So they have a moment in the film, which is a very intense scene, where she's sleeping next to her husband on the floor and his kid. I mean, they're like basically three there.
Yeah.
At this point, Chad McElmurray has already taken Eastwood into the room. He's going to do his thing with her.
Yeah.
But it's just greasy guy and these three people sleeping on the floor. And he starts going at the mom. He's like reaching under her dress, starts fingering her there.
Yeah.
And you can see her like disgusted, but also getting off.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good acting
very
in Terry
good
Polo's
acting.
Part.
Yeah, I thought she was very
that
good.
That scene was like
I bought it.
Super
I bought
uncomfortable.
It. Yeah.
Super uncomfortable. And my wife was just like, oh my God, when she's watching that scene.
And you know, you would think you're watching a guy finger a girl. You don't see anything, but you know, what's going on. I think it'd be kind of hot. It's not hot.
No, it's revolting.
Not hot at all.
It's revolting.
But her acting was great because she's revolted, and then she's kind of like, well, it's kind of good.
Yeah.
And then when it finishes,
you get the sense in that scene, and it's all about the eye acting and the way that she does the scene, that she hasn't been touched in a while.
Right.
Basically,
he's been touching the girls, the daughters,
and has nothing to do with his wife at this point.
Right.
So she relies on the good Lord to kind of continue going, day to day. That's what she relies on is the Bible and nothing else, you know. So this is the first time a man's probably touched her in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So she reciprocates, and that was like, wow, okay, so,
very weird,
very weird. So that scene happens, and then Chad Michael Murray comes out the next day with Clint Eastwood's kid, and she's reformed. She's like, I'm gonna marry this guy. He's gonna be my husband, and I'm going with them. And the family's like, what the flipping crap, you know, where'd this come from? And then shit really hits the fan.
Yeah, he starts torturing the dad.
Yep.
You know, you've been laying with your daughters.
Yep.
No, it's the frontier way. It's
it's
not the frontier way, you know. And but he wants his blessing, kind of. He's like, you know, you're going to have to give
him a blessing.
I'm
not going to do your daughter until we're married. I'm just letting you know I'm going to marry her. Yeah. And he's like, oh, don't do that. Well, then she goes off the deep end and, again, spoiler territory, winds up shooting her sister in the neck.
Yes.
Killing her.
Out of nowhere. I mean,
really
I
gory,
was shocked.
Really gory scene.
Huh?
And a great death scene, by the way, too.
Yeah.
So, so she kills her, and then he ends up asking her, like, why'd you do that? Why'd you kill your sister? And she's like, well, you know, she liked it.
Yeah.
She liked when she sat down with Daddy.
Yeah.
It just, that scene was hard to watch.
Yeah,
it was a gory, very realistic death scene.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, wow, you know, she's like, that's what a death scene should be like. That's
it's
about as real as you can get, you know, for that type of movie. So, and then she progresses to kill her pretty much everybody else, you know, with the exception of, and she beats the shit out of her. She beats her dad to death, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, basically decides to just end it. She's like, I could shoot him or I could make him suffer. She's like, nah, I'm just going to beat him to death. So she beats him to death with a gun and leaves her mom some money and says, you're not going to find me.
Yep.
Don't look for me. Remember, I know where you live and I'm out of here.
You know?
So she leaves with the bad guys and they go
Seems
off
like a bag
with the outlaws.
Of coins, you know.
Yeah. So at this point, I'll let you continue on with the story.
Well, then now we get back to the Luke Wilson character, and
he's down to one guy.
He's down to just one guy, and he comes upon the scene a little late. They've already Eastwood and Chad Michael Murray, but they've already left.
Yeah,
and he sees Terry Polo sitting on the steps of the church, desolate. I mean, she looks horrible. Yeah. She's probably thinking about just getting fingered by this guy, just right. what just happened. Her daughter died. Her husband just died.
She's got nothing but a bag of money.
Yeah.
And she's broken.
Yeah.
She's so broken. Yeah.
And she's like just staring off into the distance. And
yep.
Luke Wilson decides he's, well, she's not doing anything. He tries to talk to her.
Yep.
Tries to get her, and she won't talk, won't do anything.
Which way'd they go? What yeah. happened here? Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he thought, okay, well, I'll just take her bag of coins, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need this $8,000. I got free money right here.
Right.
So he takes the money. He's walking off, and he's narrating it still.
Yep.
And then,
bam.
Boom, she pulls out a gun and shoots and kills.
A bunch of times.
Yeah.
A bunch of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the only time I've ever seen that in a movie beyond Casino. Remember Casino?
Uh-huh.
With Joe Pesci is telling the story and he gets the bat to the head and then the story telling stops, which I laugh my ass off in that scene because I thought it was hilarious that they did that. But this scene's not, this one's definitely not as funny as that. It's very, in your face, she just killed somebody and she screams an ungodly scream that is like from the bowels of hell.
What a 24 hours she's just had, you know?
Oh, I know. And she, that acting in that scene, I'm like, man, if this had been a better director, an A movie, she probably could have been up for an Oscar.
Yeah, because she was awesome in it.
She was awesome in it.
Yeah.
Really, out of anybody in the movie, it's her and Clint Eastwood's kid that seem to really kind of bring their A game.
Yeah.
They do the best.
Yeah.
Chad Michael Murray is passable. He does a good job given what he has to work with. But he doesn't, really show a lot of emotion.
Luke Wilson has not a lot of screen time, but at the beginning, he kind of sucks. He overdoes a southern accent, which is stupid. He's from Dallas.
Yeah.
But it kind of softens. It's kind of Costner and Robin Hood. He gives up the English accent towards him.
Right.
And kind of Luke Wilson kind of does the same thing. But I think he's still powerful in the scenes he's in. And, that scene when he's stealing the coins and everything. I was shocked when she shot him. Like,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
I just felt like it was a little against character, but it solidifies the fact that you kind of thought it under the surface. He's not a good guy. He is a good guy, but he's not. He's supposed to be the good guy of the movie, but he's not a good guy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that moment to me was like, wow, okay, he just crossed the line. And
well, bounty hunters in the Old West were not considered good people.
No, yeah, I get it, yeah.
You know, people hate it. I mean, they'd rather the outlaw get away than a bounty hunter get you. Bounty hunters were like the lowest forms of people. And so I didn't think it was out of character for me.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I chasing this guy across the fucking country when I can just steal this money right here and I'm good. I can go home.
And I kind of think, I don't know that he knew, but he did tell the other guy, like, go home to your family. Don't even stay here with me, whatever. I'm just going to handle it. Just go home with your family.
Yeah.
So I think at that point, he's like, I've done so much already. I'm going to finish this out. I'm going to get the $8,000 or I'm not.
Yeah.
And, so this guy's out of the picture. I get more of the money, whatever happens.
Right.
So whatever I end up finding, I'm going to get most of the money. This guy's not going to get anything.
Right.
And then he sees the bag of money. He's like, cool. I'm out.
I'm going home. Yeah.
Exactly.
Money now.
And then he ends up getting killed. Yeah, that was a great, it was a killer moment. And really, honestly, I thought that was the end of the film, but they kind of pull a Return of the King kind of Lord of the Rings ending here, and there's multiple endings.
Yeah.
At that point, we see Francesca Eastwood and Chad Michael Murray and the other team. The guys are out. They're getting ready to cross and go into Mexico, and she winds up shooting the other two guys, which I thought, I saw coming in. I was like, okay, well, she's going to shoot the other two guys, and they're going to run off and be happily, happy ever after, and we get all the money. Yay.
Yeah.
But not what happens.
Nope.
She ends up shooting him too. So,
and I think he kind of knew it was going to come.
Yeah,
I think he didn't. He wanted it not to. Obviously, he didn't want to die, but I think his heart was saying it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I think his mind was thinking, yeah, she's going to shoot me.
He thought he had enough of a connection with her that she was just going to live with him, live out her days with him, and they were going to be happy. But it didn't work out that way. So the dialogue at the end of that scene is like it's kind of heartbreaking. She's like, I'll never be able to show you how grateful I am. And he's like, you will. And she's like, and I will. And then he's like, we got all the time in the world. She's like, I'm sorry. And she shoots him, And he's like, I wanted to. I really did, but I just couldn't. That $8,000 is clean money. So at that point, she's cutting their heads off and putting them on the horse and riding off.
Yeah, very
And then
dark.
I thought that was the end.
Right.
But then we get another section of the movie where she comes over to her mom and, lets her have it, basically, and then shoots her mom. So.
Yeah.
She got all of it. She got the $8,000 plus all the bank money.
Right. Exactly. exactly.
What a bitch.
Yeah. So in today's money, we're looking about $200,000 in today's money. So, you could live it a little while. You could do okay.
Yeah.
So not bad.
Yeah, and her character was really, you know, Francesca Eastwood's character was really the only one that kind of
developed
and gave the bad guys what for. Mm-hmm. When they were invading the house and doing all their things, Dad's like, shut up, don't say anything. She was the only one that was asking questions like, why'd you do that? Why'd you do this? Where are you going? What are you? Mm-hmm. She was just really kind of pressuring them to, and that's, I think,
she started off very mild-mannered at the beginning. Yeah. Let her sister run roughshod over.
Yeah.
But she progresses and, yeah.
Yeah. She goes,
and she's a decent actress. I respected her in that film.
Yeah, I thought she did a really good job. Yeah. I really did. You know, and I'll say this about the movie: it's a B Western. You know, it's not gonna be something you're gonna watch all the time. But I'll tell you what, I honestly I probably enjoyed it a little bit more than Hateful Eight, because I thought Hateful Eight was just overblown and too long and boring and Quentin Tarantino-ish, and I'm kind of over that.
Yeah.
I think if Quentin Tarantino had directed this, even though he didn't write it, it probably would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
Or if we had somebody like Lawrence Kasdan rewrite it, or if we had, you know, someone like Kevin Costner directed, or even another guy who does. It would have been a better movie. I think it had the potential to be an A movie that was Oscar worthy, but because of its low budget, because of its everything else that goes along with it in the cast, it just really didn't rise to the occasion. Right. It's got a 5.4 on IMDb. I think it's a little better than
I'd give it about a 6.2.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6 or maybe even a 6.5, something like that. I think it has some legs, and I would honestly say if it was on cable and I'm out somewhere, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah.
But it's not something I'm going to rush out.
Certainly not a movie that when it finished that I was like, I can't believe I watched that crap. I finished it and I went, I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, that was entertaining. It was
did
entertaining.
I love it? No, but I liked it.
Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah.
And you know what I liked about it was that it surprised me. And there's not that many movies nowadays that surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's pretty cut and dry. You're going to get the same plot that you always get. Mm-hmm. And there's the same characters that you always get. And this one was a little deeper than that.
Yeah.
You know, you got a little deeper. I thought that they developed the bad guys pretty well. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about the potential rape scene where part of what Chad Michael Murray wanted to do to the dad was to make him feel how his daughters felt, and he was going to have that big guy rape him.
Yes.
And he's like,
the big dummy.
Yeah.
The guy from of Mice and Men kind of character.
Yeah. He was like the Lenny, you know?
He's Lenny.
Do it. He's like, he's going to ass rape. He's like, no, don't do it.
I've never done it. I don't know if I can get it up.
Yeah. He's like, I'm ready. Okay. You know?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
He's like, just kill me. Just kill me. That scene was brutal.
That was brutal. Yeah.
Brutal scene.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's
a lot of brutality in that movie. Yes.
There really is.
Yeah.
But I sense that there was a lot back then, too. So it's very real to the time.
Well, you know, the nearest law enforcement person might be 200 miles from you.
Right, right.
You know, because they had counties. And, of course, counties were huge back then. And so, you know, and for, like, once you get arrested, you had to have a circuit judge come in. And that's what it was, a circuit judge. He rode around like we do in our sales jobs, city to city, on horse, like what we do.
Right. Although
it'd be more fun if we were on a horse. Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah, it would be definitely cool. Yeah.
But, you know. They show up in Dallas and they trial the court cases here. Then they go to Fort Worth, trial the court cases there.
Right.
Then they go to Waco and trial the court cases. You know, and so it could take days before a judge even could come in and give you a trial, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so you could get away with shit. You could pull stuff because then you could ride away. You could be 100 miles away and be totally free because, you know, that's a 5-day ride for somebody just to come find you. And they're not going to come find you. They don't give a shit.
Yep, definitely.
So that's why you
get
a lot more brutal. You know, that made the brutality probably more real back then. You know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And watchable movie. If you haven't seen it and you want to watch a Western, then definitely give it a go. It is really dark, so you're not going to, it's not a feel good movie at all.
Yeah.
Nothing feel good about it.
It's not Silverado.
Silverado. Yeah. It's a dark, dark movie. Yeah. But, you know, pretty well made. I'd like to know, I don't even know what the budget was on this. I have no idea. What do you think the budget was on this?
I thought I read $4.5 million, something like that. I can't remember.
That much?
Like that. Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't have a big budget feel. I mean, the cinematography is okay. It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that in the credits, you could tell they tried to make it look like a spaghetti Western or something,
but
it just really didn't kind of play that way. So
right.
It has kind of a made-for-TV feel almost, but or at least a made-for-cable feel. But still, you know.
And Chad Michael Murray and did enough that if he were to be in another Western, I would buy it. I mean, not buy it, like buy it. I would
buy him in that role. Yeah,
exactly.
You know. Yeah, I think he did a good job.
And Luke Wilson, I think he was in 3:10 to Yuma. I thought he was good in this.
He fits in Westerns. I don't have a problem with him.
He needs to be good in a Western.
Yeah. Like we mentioned before, definitely fits better than
Owen. Wilson would not be good in a Western, but I think Luke Wilson, I buy him in
a Western. Owen's been in a couple. He was in Shanghai Noon and Shanghai Nights.
Does that count?
Well, they're an Eastern Western, I guess. So
I think of Jackie Chan. Does that really count?
Yeah. They're still Westerns, but they're not.
I know.
Still like those movies because I'm a Jackie Chan fan.
I know. And I like Owen Wilson, so I like him too. So that's funny.
But he doesn't fit. He seems too California. too he modern. Does, day
even though
California.
He came from Dallas, but I know, he's right? Very California.
Yep.
Luke seems more tied into his roots.
Right.
I feel
right.
You know. But no. So if I had to do thumbs up, I'd go thumbs up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up. Now, you know, the director of this is J.T. Molnar, who, you know, hadn't really done anything. Like, give the guy credit for being able to direct a feature film.
First movie, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, he did a lot of shorts and a TV movie, and that's it. He wrote the original screenplay for this and directed it. So for a first effort, hey, you know, I'd like to see what this guy does next. Especially
if
he gets a better budget. You know, I'd like to see if he's going to go with the Western genre again or what mm-hmm. he's going to do.
Yeah.
But I think the guy has legs. I mean, I think the guy could do something better down the road if he's given the opportunity. So hopefully he'll get that. Hopefully
and I think that's the current state of Westerns. It's just got to be dark.
Yeah.
You know, we had some good ones in the early aughts with 310 to Yuma and Open Range. You know, we had some good ones. You know, 310 to Yuma was a remake.
Right.
Open Range was an original. But I think those were still 10, 12 years ago.
Right, right.
Man, we're old. Open Range.
Unforgiven.
Was 13 years ago. Yeah, that was 20-something years ago.
Yeah, and that was really kind of the first really dark Western we'd seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think Westerns now are going to have to be dark if they're going to bring in audiences, which I hate.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind a Western in any shape or form.
Right, right.
Except for that Woody Harrelson one that you keep telling me to watch. I'm going to try to watch it. What's it called? The Duel?
The Duel, yeah.
Okay.
You watch. That's the other one. I was going to ask you about that, if you'd watch The Duel yet.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
That's another low-budget Western. I think it's a little better directed than this one. Mm-hmm. Personally, a better shot. It's got some really good cinematography, and it feels bigger than its budget. Mm-hmm. And some really good performances, too. So I think you'll like it.
I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it, yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what you think about it, which direction you go between these two. I think I like The Duel a little better. I would watch The Duel again, you know, willingly. This one, you know, like I said, if it's on cable, I'll watch it, but I won't seek it out again.
Right. I got you.
So, fair enough. If you don't know The Duel has Woody Harrelson and Liam Hemsworth and a couple other people in it, but it's also a low-budget Western that came out recently, which I love. I'm glad we're seeing Westerns. I don't care if they're low-budget or not. It's just great that they're actually being made. So.
And I would think, low budget. I would think the budget on a Western can't be that big.
Yeah.
Because if you're a good director, you're going to use that John Ford mentality of cinematography or the landscape is a character in the movie.
Exactly.
And if you do that, then
You got the good cinematography, you got, you know, accurate clothing and guns, then that's, you know, as long as you got a good story to go with that, you're pretty golden.
You sort of don't have a bunch of explosions or anything.
Exactly.
It's just gunfights, you know?
Yep.
And how hard is it to put a bullet or a blood pack on somebody?
And that's one thing I like about both of these movies, both The Duel and Outlaws and Angels, is they're both very dialogue-driven, slow-burn Westerns.
Yes.
They're about the story and the characters and not fluff. It's not the Wild Wild West with
God, that movie was horrible.
Yeah.
Will Smith
and Kevin Klein.
Yeah,
that was just like if you want to see the worst Western ever made, that's the worst Western. It's horrible.
Even Will Smith says that's his worst movie.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's got a lot to pick from.
Kenneth Branagh. I mean, come on, you were doing Shakespeare. You did this piece of shit movie. Why would you do that to yourself? It was
ridiculous.
Horrible.
Yeah,
and the story behind that is crazy. I don't know. There was the producer. Wanted to do a movie with giant spiders. That was basically what it was.
Like and he used the Wild Wild West.
He wanted to do it originally with the Superman movie that they were making with Tim Burton. He's like, and you know, the main bad guy is going to be this giant mechanical spider. And they were like, what? And he's like, And then they fired him, and then the movie never happened. Next movie he went to make, Wild Wild West. Guess what they get? Giant mechanical spiders.
Yeah, so
it didn't work. It was a stupid idea.
And I liked the TV show. I used to watch it when
I loved Wild
Robert
Wild West.
Robert Wagner. Robert Conrad.
Yep.
And, I can't remember the guy's name. The guy
it was a great show.
It's a great show. Yeah. But, they ruined that.
James Bond in the Old West. It was great.
It was very cool. I liked it.
But
no.
Remake that, Hollywood. Make a good Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Let's see a good one.
Yeah. Let's do that.
That's the thing. It's like, this is what's crazy to me. Is that B Westerns at this point are better than whatever Hollywood's putting out at this point. What's the last big budget Western we got from Hollywood? Not including Magnificent Seven, because we haven't seen that, but what was the last one you can think of?
Hateful Eight, but before that, I don't know.
The Lone Ranger,
which
was garbage. Yeah, so.
But before Lone Ranger, 310 to Yuma?
That was a good one, but that was the last good one. I mean, Lone Ranger was. Now, see, that was their attempt at making a fun Western. It was fun, but it was bad. I mean, you took a character that is a great character and reduced him to nothing and made Tonto the hero. What? You know, it was crappy.
It was stupid.
I don't know.
You know, when they told me, and I hate Johnny Depp. I'm not a Johnny Depp fan at all. I've liked one movie. I liked Blow. I thought he was great in Blow. But when I found out he was being cast as Tonto, I thought, oh, cool. Then when I saw it, I just had to see stills from it, and I thought, oh, he's Jack Sparrow as freaking Tonto.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm out. I'm not in.
And that's exactly what it was. Yeah. It was horrible. Horrible. So, yeah, it's been a while for, you know, Hateful Eight aside, a lot of people love that movie. I just, it was a beatdown to me, man.
Yeah,
it was too long, drawn out. I think what annoyed me the most about Hateful Eight was how Quentin Tarantino felt entitled that, oh, I shot it in 70 millimeter. It has to be shown in 70 millimeter. It's like the movie takes place 90% in a cabin. Why the hell did you spend the money, producer's money, this hard-earned money, to make this movie in 70 millimeter when it doesn't matter? You're in a confined space.
Yeah.
And it's all dialogue.
Yeah.
And if you're having dialogue between characters in a wide-open space, you're downplaying the dialogue at that point. Instead of having close-ups and, you know, it's like, oh, we're having all this intense dialogue in this long shot. It looks like a play.
Yeah.
You know, so just make it a play. Don't make it a movie. Yeah. You know, it shouldn't have been a movie.
And the thing about Tarantino, it's weird. The thing that got me liking Tarantino after watching
Pulp Fiction,
Reservoir Dogs, and Pulp Fiction, was I loved his dialogue.
Yeah,
it was snappy, it was witty. Well, he fell in love with that.
Yeah,
and now the one thing I hate about Tarantino is his dialogue.
Exactly. Yeah,
I hate it.
The last movie that I liked from him was Inglourious Basterds. I liked the performances. I liked a lot of the dialogue. It still felt the least Tarantino-ish of his latest Tarantino movies. Because the dialogue seemed to fit the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's his biggest problem, is that he writes as if he's every character.
Yeah.
And every character sounds like this hipster kind of douchebag.
Yeah.
And that was the problem with Hateful Eight. Every character sounded like Tarantino. So it takes you out of the movie. Mm-hmm. It puts you in a place where you just, if you like that and that's your thing, you love it. If you don't, to me, I was halfway through Hateful Eight going, oh, just make it end.
The last one I liked, and yet I don't like, because there's way too much dialogue, but I did like Death Proof.
Yeah.
With Kurt Russell and Rose McGowan and the pretty, really pretty black chick. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson,
yeah.
Yeah, very pretty girl.
Yeah, she is.
But still, it's just too much talking. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, but there are really cool death scenes in that. Mm-hmm. The scene where Kurt Russell's with Rose McGowan in the car and he's telling her car's death proof, and then he stops. He goes, you know, it's only death proof if you're sitting in my seat. And he explores it and slams on the brakes. She goes flying. That was kind of cool. Now, there's some really cool parts of that, but Kill Bill, I tried to like. I couldn't get into Kill Bill.
Was too much, Yeah, I don't know, man. So, give these two flicks a try. If you haven't seen Outlaws and Angels, check it out. Also, check out The Duel, because we're going to be reviewing that soon.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that at a different time.
Yep.
But, hey, where can they find us, Randy?
I don't know lately. Oh, where are we? iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yep.
And I am at RandyRankin43 on Twitter.
I am Captain Funky Pants on Twitter.
I'm RandyRankin95 on Instagram.
And I am Cigar_Luna on Instagram.
There we go.
All right.
Cool.
As always, it's been great smoking with you
guys. See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.